yesterday here. Eric and I got married. And now you can take the picture down. We have a few announcements today. One is there is a board meeting after the service, so all board members, please remember to stay around. An added announcement that's not on your list is, remember alabaster boxes, they're in the back. One of the things that comes in handy for us that we do is we leave one right in the car in the center console. So then when we go through the drive-through or whatever, our change from that, we just drop it right in there instead of it ending up all over the floor in the car. And it makes it a lot easier, and you're saving for a good cause right at the same time. The prayer group will be meeting on May 21st here at 11 a.m. They will have lunch afterward at the Quaker Steak and Lube. The book study starts on May 22nd. Please remember, see Diane if you ordered a book, and donate your $12 if possible. And as always, check out the website and check out Facebook. Like it, send it to friends, share it. And lastly, let's all have a good day today. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's stand together for our call to worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication in your faithfulness. Answer me in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued me, crushing my life to the ground, making me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I think about all your deeds. I meditate on the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear of your steadfast love in the morning, for in you I put my trust. Teach me in the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Save me, O Lord, from my enemies. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your steadfast love, cut off my enemies and destroy all my adversaries, for I am your servant. You may be seated. Well, we are in week 3 of our 6-week series on prayer. And so in week 1, we talked about protection, right? And we talked about our need to pray prayers of protection. We need to be praying prayers of protection over our families, right? We need to pray that they would be protected from the things that were going to come at us from the outside world. And we need to pray protection over our churches for a number of reasons. We need to pray that we would be protected from becoming places of entertainment, and that we would be places that are sharing the story of Jesus and reaching our neighbors and our community. We need to pray prayers of protection over ourselves, because what we will find as we draw closer to Jesus, as we begin to look more like him, we will face persecution in the same way that he did. And so we have to pray those prayers of protection. We have to pray prayers of protection over our pastors. We need to pray, you know, that they would be encouraged and that they would be able to do what it is that God has called them to do. Well, then the next week, we talked about direction. We talked about praying prayers of direction and how it's important that we trust in the Lord with our whole heart, that we don't trust what we have to say and what we think about things, but that we trust what God has to say and we trust his leading, and that we put that into practice, and that we also would give God all the glory and all of the credit for all the things that are happening in our life. And when we do those things and we follow after Jesus, he is going to point us in the way that we should go. So this week, week 3, we're talking about revelation. And if you have been following along in the prayer journal, each day in the prayer journal, there's a question that is asked. And it says, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about protection, direction, and revelation, right? It's asking us that question. And so there are three types of revelation. The first type of revelation is general revelation. The second type is special revelation. And then the third type of revelation is divine revelation. And so general revelation, that's the kind of revelation that everyone can experience and observe, right? And so, for example, yesterday I was driving in my Jeep, and it's a beautiful day, and I have the top off, and I was looking up at the sky. And honestly, this is something I do frequently. I love to look at the clouds in the sky. And as I was looking up there and seeing how the light was pouring through in some areas and how it was really dark in others, and you know, it was kind of like raining on one side of the street and not on the other, I was thinking about God, the Creator, and how He made this. And that is what general revelation is. God was revealing Himself to me in a way that everyone else can see as well. Everyone can see God revealed in that way. We can see it in creation. And so as we're looking at nature, that's, you know, general revelation. Another kind of general revelation that I'm reminded of is I was talking about our friend Marissa earlier, and I've talked about her to a couple of you. We have a friend Marissa, and she has a reptile show, and she goes around, and it's her ministry, and she takes these reptiles places, and she talks about, you know, how they were created and their the creative design, right? Why they look the way they do, or why they act the way they do. And she was talking about a tortoise that comes from Georgia. And she had, and her name was Georgia, actually. And she had this tortoise, and she said, this tortoise is really important because she digs all of these holes. And she loves to dig. And everywhere she goes, she digs. And you would think, oh, well, okay, tortoises dig. But her job is so important because in her digging and creating those holes, she creates homes for hundreds of other animals. She's important. And she was created for that specific purpose. If Georgia were ever to go extinct, or her species of tortoise were to go extinct, it would cause problems with our ecosystem. Lots of issues. She's important, right? And so that is general revelation, right? Creative design. God the Creator made her to do those things, and He reveals His nature to us in things like that, right? And so it's like an artist. If anyone's ever been to an art museum and you see a painting, when you look at a painting, however abstract it might be sometimes, you can see a little bit about the artist, right? And you can see a little bit about the personality of the artist coming out through the art. And this is just like the nature of God that He reveals to us through His creation. So general revelation, that's the kind we can all see, we can all observe, we all experience at the same time, God revealing us Himself to us in that way. Well, the next type of revelation is special revelation. And this type of revelation is reserved for a single person or a single group. For example, right, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. That was special revelation. That message was a specific message given to Moses through God that was for him. It was specific for him to see and specific for him to hear. We experience this when God speaks to us directly. And I can think back over my life, and I would hope that that you could as well. And you could think of times where God was speaking just to you. And He was giving you a message that was only for you or only to a people group. And so I was thinking about this, and it even happens in seemingly insignificant prayers, right? You're praying things that might seem like not a really big thing, but God reveals Himself to you in a way that was just for you. In that moment, and you're like, wow, that was God, and that message was for me. I was reminded, I was thinking about this, of a time I had a teen in my youth group, and she was going through a really difficult time, and I was praying and fasting for her in a very intentional way, for a very intentional purpose, and her parents were doing the same. And I was reminded that one night, over the course of this time when I was praying for her, I was woken up in the middle of the night, and I felt so strongly at that moment to pray for her, and to pray for her a very specific prayer. And I'm not going to share that with you, because it will be figured out, you know, who my person is. But I was praying this very specific prayer, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt so compelled, and I prayed. And then I went back to sleep.
I didn't say anything to anyone about it. And the next day, I had seen this girl's parents, and they came to me and they said, "Do you know, in the middle of the night, our prayers were answered. This thing happened, and everything we've been praying for has been answered." And I said, "Well, could you tell me what time that was?" And they shared it with me. It was the exact moment that I was woken up and compelled to pray for this person. And so for me, that is what special revelation is. That was God speaking to me and speaking to those parents and speaking to that girl in a way that he could only speak to us for a very, very specific person and very specific purpose. And so God reveals himself to us specifically, right? He reveals himself to us generally. Everyone can see it. He reveals himself to us specifically. It's a message that's just for us. And then finally, there is a third type of revelation, and this is divine revelation. This is when God reveals himself in a way that is beyond all natural reason. You cannot make sense of it. It is a way that God moves that doesn't make sense to the world at all. It could only be God that moves in this way. And the ways that we think are impossible, things that are impossible, he makes them possible, right? And that is divine revelation. And our greatest example of divine revelation is described to us in our passage this morning. So we're going to turn to John 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we would just ask that you would be here in this service, that you would just allow yourself to be revealed to us, that we would be able to see you and hear you and know that you are here and that it is you speaking to us. God, we ask this morning that the words that are spoken are your words and not mine. Amen. Well, in John 1:1, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word that is being spoken about in this passage is Jesus, right? And this is important for us to note because it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus, he is the Word, right? They're talking about Jesus, that Jesus has always been. Right? Just as God has always been, just as the Holy Spirit has always been, Jesus has always been. God did not create Jesus when he was born. Rather, Jesus was already with him, and he chose to send him in the way that he did. That makes it so much more significant for me. If God were to say, "I'm going to create this baby to send to be Jesus, and then I'm going to sacrifice him," that would still be a big deal. That would still be huge. But the fact is, Jesus was always with God. And he said, "You know what? This is my son, and he has always been with me. And now I'm going to allow him to be with you." That's powerful. That's way more powerful than thinking about the fact that he created him to send to us. No, he was always with him, and he decided to send him to be with us. He didn't just show up. So knowing this, you know, it makes it much more significant for us that Jesus wasn't just created. He'd always been with God. So John 1:14 says, "The Word," Jesus is the Word, "the Word put on flesh," right? He put on an earthly body, and God sent him as an infant, a vulnerable little baby, right? He could have sent him a conquering king, right? He could have sent him as a grown man, a conquering king. He could have sent him, you know, as this all-powerful person to come down, but no, he chose to put on flesh and send him as a vulnerable little baby, right? To live life the way we live it, to experience the things we experience, to be a kid, right? To play, to go through adolescence the way we did, to grow up and become a man, and to live all of the same experiences, to have the shared experience with us. So he put on flesh and he lived among the people. Well, what do we know about Jesus? Jesus was born to a virgin, right? This is beyond natural reason. That is divine revelation, right? And Jesus, God sent his only son. He knew that he was going to be a sacrifice. He sent him knowing what was going to happen to him. That is beyond all natural reason, right? As a parent, would you ever want to do that? Would you say, "Here's my little baby that I love, that I raise, that I just want to protect, and I'm raising them to know that they're going to be a sacrifice for you"? That doesn't make sense, right? That is divine revelation. And it's beyond natural reason. And then the scripture says, and we have seen his glory. So it wasn't just enough that God sent his son to be a sacrifice, but he allowed us to see his glory. So there were eyewitnesses. The person who wrote this book was an eyewitness to the life of Jesus. They got to see some really amazing things. They got to see Jesus in action. They got to see him being, you know, the hands and the feet of the Father and being with the people. I get to see him doing all kinds of really great things, right? He was hanging out with sinners. He was hanging out with the marginalized. He was the tangible presence of God among the people. He was healing people. He raised people from the dead. He shared meals with people. He welcomed children, right? He spoke to women and used them in ministry. He crossed cultural boundaries. He was the ideal person that you can think of. If you're thinking of social justice, if you're thinking, what's a person I can think of that's like all about social justice? That person is Jesus. So they got to see the glory of the Lord. And as he was living this way among the people, you know, he was calling out religious leaders. He flipped tables. He was a catalyst for change, right? He was living among the people and revealing himself and the nature of God in a really tangible way. And the people saw his glory, and they were recipients of his grace. Well, the writers of the gospel, they were eyewitnesses to this. They were eyewitnesses to the Jesus who walked the earth as a man. However, we are a people who have seen his glory as well. God did not just reveal his glory through Jesus in the Bible. He reveals his glory in Jesus now, and he allows us to see it. And I have seen the glory of Jesus in my own life. An example of this, the story of this is back in December, as most of you know, a lot of you, we've talked about it before. We all had COVID, right? And Brian had it really bad. He was really sick. In fact, it's a miracle that Brian is here with us. And so he was really ill. He was sick with COVID, and we'd had one hospital stay, and we were in our next hospital stay. And when we got to the hospital, I knew, you know, something is not right here. You know, something is not good. And you know, back in that time, you were only allowed one person with you. So it was just me and Brian, who was really sick. And so he wasn't being much help to me, you know, being sick. And so I was having a really difficult time. And in one moment, we finally get put into a room, and this nurse shows up. I'd been praying in the waiting room, and I'd been praying driving in the car, and I'd been praying in the room, and this nurse comes in, and she said, you know, she starts telling us about herself, and she said, you know, I'm a traveling nurse, and I don't come to hospitals like this. You know, I only go to level one trauma centers, and I don't know why I came here. I don't know why. I just said, yes, I'd come here. I don't know why I'm here. Well, I'm going to tell you why she was there. Because she began to do these things that I couldn't quite understand. She was like, you know what? I'm going to put this in the room. We might need this. I'm going to have this ready. We might need this. I'm going to have the doctor put in this order. We might need this. And no one had seen us yet, you know. She's getting all of these things ready. And moments from her doing all of this, we had a really scary thing happen, and we almost lost Brian. And because she was there, and because she had things in place, Brian is still with us today, right? And so then I began to pray even more. In that moment when things were going crazy and there were millions of doctors and nurses and everyone in the room helping Brian, and I'm shoved back in the corner, you know, I just began to pray, and I began to text everybody I knew, pray for Brian, pray for Brian, pray for Brian, pray right now, pray for Brian. And all of these people that I knew began to pray. And what happened? The glory of Jesus was revealed in our room. The glory of Jesus. And from that moment on, our entire hospital stay, God continued to reveal himself to us. We continued to see the glory of Jesus as we prayed intentional prayers. For example, one doctor kept telling us, oh, it's not, he didn't have a seizure, he didn't have a seizure. And somehow a neurologist shows up in our room. We don't know where she came from. She comes in, she goes, oh yes, that's what it is. And she took over our case, and she got us moved to a regular room. And she began to do these things that, guess what, probably wouldn't have been done if we weren't seeing the glory of Jesus. And even things as little as, you can't have an MRI unless your COVID test is clear. And he was so sick. Guess what? negative test. Everything we prayed for continued to be answered and continued to be shown to us. And we just knew this is the glory of Jesus. And we have to tell people that this is the glory of Jesus because this is divine revelation. This is something that is happening that only God could do. This isn't something that we could do. This isn't something that these people could think of on their own. This is because the hand of God is down here and he has his hand on us and we are seeing the glory of Jesus. And so it's so important to us as we begin to see God move, when Jesus reveals his glory to us, we cannot keep that to ourselves. We have to share that with other people. We are compelled to share that with other people because that is how they are going to come to know Jesus, right? Jesus may not have earthly flesh on right now, right? He might not be walking with us in the way that he walked with the disciples or in the way that he walked with people when he was here as a man, but he is still walking among us. He is still walking among us, and we can still be people who see his glory. You know, and I'm sure those of you who have been in the church a long time, I've been in the church a long time, we've heard people say, you know, God doesn't do miracles like he did in the Old Testament. We don't see him do those things. We don't see him move in that way. But the fact is, those types of miracles are still happening. God is still doing that, right? He's the same God. He is the same God. The same God who was Jesus walking and healing people and raising people from the dead. The same God who was in the Old Testament is the same God that we pray to now. The way he revealed himself in those days, he can do it. He will do it. But we have to have the faith to believe that he will, and we have to pray the intentional prayers asking him to move in this way. And then when it does happen, when God does the thing, when the glory of Jesus is revealed, because when we believe that it will be, it will be. We cannot be people who explain it away. Well, that only happened because of this. Well, he only got that negative COVID test because it was a false negative. No, God did it. And we need to give him the glory and say, God did that. Jesus revealed himself to me in this way because I asked him to. And he moved. We cannot explain it away. You know what? Divine revelation is going to seem crazy to people. It's going to seem weird because guess what? You can't explain it. You can't make sense of it. It's just what it is. It's just the glory of God being revealed, and we have to call attention to it. Now, we also have to be so careful, right? We cannot become stuck in the way that God moved in the past. We cannot be people who say, well, isn't it sad? Back in the day, when I was first a believer, God really did this cool thing in my life. He doesn't move like that anymore. Or, you know, our church years ago was like this. Or this ministry that I'm involved in, it used to be like this. Yeah, that's awesome. We should talk about those things. We should share, hey, you know, God did this in my life in the past. But guess what? He is still moving now. What's he doing today? What is he doing now? How is he speaking to you now? We cannot become so consumed with what God has done or what we want him to do that we miss what he's doing right now. How he is moving right now, how he is answering maybe our seemingly insignificant prayers, how he is moving in our lives in a brand new way. We have got to have our eyes open, and we have to pay attention. You know, God desires our whole heart. He desires us to just be completely consumed by him. He desires our obedience to seek his will and to put it into practice. And God desires to reveal himself to the world, right? He does. He desires to reveal himself. And how do we know that? Well, we know it because we go outside in the evening and we see that beautiful sunset. Where did that come from? That's God saying, look what I have done for you. Right? We know it because we see God reveal himself through nature, right? We know it because God still speaks to people in visions and in dreams. We know it because we have a God who is still performing miracles. We know it because of people who have direct conversations with us that reveal to us the very nature of God. And God is still a God that is doing impossible things. He is still walking among us, and we can still see his glory when we seek him. So today you got a little white card, right? And we are going to do something with that. Today, on that card, you're going to write three things, and I'll repeat them several times, you know, so you know what to write. And the first thing you're going to write is a number one, and you're going to write general revelation. And then what I want you to do is I want you to say, write something. What is a way that you have seen God reveal himself to you in his creation? What is something that you see when you're out in creation and you say, you know what, that is God revealing himself to me? And I want you to write that down. Now, these next two, these might take a little bit of time. So I'll repeat them and then I'll give you some time here. The second thing is special revelation. What is a way that God has revealed himself to you personally? What is something that God has said to you and revealed to you personally? Now, you might say, you know what? I don't know that God has spoken to me. I don't know that I've heard the voice of God. And you know what? That's okay. I want you to leave that place blank. And then I want you to begin to read the scripture. I want you to begin praying intentional prayers and ask God, hey, reveal yourself to me. And when he does, then I want you to fill in that place. I want you to keep this card. And then number three is divine revelation, right? Is there a time that God did something in your life or maybe in the life of someone else and you've witnessed it that you know that only God could do? It's an impossible thing that has happened and God has made it possible. And then I want you to write that down. And then you're going to keep filling these out, so take your time. But once this card is filled out, I want you to keep it. And I want you to place it somewhere significant, somewhere important, maybe in your car, maybe on your mirror, maybe by the coffee pot. That's a real important place for me. You know, somewhere you're going to see it in your Bible, somewhere you are going to see it. And I want you to use this as a daily reminder to pray and ask God to continue to reveal himself to you in these ways. And when God does, because when you pray prayers of intention, God will move, right? He will begin to do the new thing. He will begin to do the exciting thing. And he will begin to reveal himself to you. And when he does, I want you to share that with others. I want you to say, hey, this is what God is doing. And I know it. Because I couldn't do it, and only he can. And when you do that, that type of sharing, that type of witness, that is contagious. And that is what's going to change people's lives. That is how we will see a resurgence and a renewal in the church, and we will begin to be disciples who make disciples. And so I want you to keep that card with you. So finally, you know, as you have this card, what I want you to do, keep writing. If you're writing, that's fine. Don't rush. I want you to pray and thank God for his divine revelation. Thank God for putting on flesh and sending his son to be a sacrifice for us. For being a person who came to forgive us of our sins, and not just forgive us of our sins, but restore communication. We can now speak directly to God through his son Jesus because of what he has done. And we should be thankful for that. We should be excited for that. And so I want you to pray and I want you to thank God for his divine revelation. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we just thank you for who you are. We are so thankful that you were here with us this morning. And God, we would ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, that you would continue to speak to us as we pray these prayers of protection and direction and revelation, and that you would just help us to be a renewed people, that you would help us to be a people that are intentional, and that we would go out and that we would begin to seek people and to share your story with them and share the ways in which you have moved in our lives. God, I ask that you be with each person that is here this morning. I ask, God, that you be with each person that is joining us online. And I ask that you be with each person that is not here with us. I ask all of these things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed.